I'm really excited my knife was here.
Hey, what's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast. I screwed up our original intro, so we're recording this later, but the Frogcast that we just did is pretty great. We talked about the Babadook. We talked about the Sony leak. We got Jane Harrison here.
Hello.
We got Matt Lieb here.
Hello.
Okay, he left, but Jane Harrison does a really good Matt Lieb. It's like he's sitting here next to us. We got the human giant, Brendan.
I'm about to be extremely funny.
It's true, he had a good one.
And we got Brett, who was super sad earlier, but now he's drunk.
Yeah, no, I feel much better now.
Brett lost his goddamn mind.
It's going to be a little out of context.
This is going to be like every 90s movie where the end is at the beginning.
Suffice it to say.
And then you see how Brett got here.
Let me just tell you, this is going to be one crazy night.
There's going to be a narrator like, but let's go back to the beginning.
Spoiler alert, I'm happier when I drink.
I think that's it in a nutshell. All right, you guys.
Let's jump in.
Enjoy this next part. This is going to be a hard cut to some weird conversation.
I think it's me talking about how I like day drinking. And it's the only thing that cheers me up.
Pretty much.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
All right. Oh, Jane's here now.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Mm. Feel very official at the head of four boys. Mm-hmm. Like, queen of the castle.
It's like the worst mafia table ever.
Hey.
I mean, it's not that bad of a mafia table, but it's pretty bad.
You're breaking your mama's heart.
I'm the matriarch of this family.
Oh, we were just talking about how the last time Brett was ever happy was when he was day drinking in high school.
No, the last recorded time was sophomore year of high school. And then there were some other times in college that I was probably too fuzzed out to remember. But like, you add a little bit of sunshine and a picture of like really cheap, crappy beer.
Yeah.
That's like going to make you feel pretty good.
So nothing with the baby. The baby has no...
The what? The what?
You've been watching too many rom-coms where bringing a child into the world is supposed to make you happy.
Yeah, it makes you sad, as it turns out. Most babies are...
You slough it off with your placenta.
Yeah, and you eat it.
Well...
Some people do. Did you
high-five Tom Cruise?
I ate theirs.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a word for the type of pararenting that like Alicia Silverstone does where she's
isn't like attachment
bad. Yes,
who?
Yeah,
is that where you like put them on your boob for like 2 years or something?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
like
you breastfeed them really long, and she like chews her kid's food for him and stuff.
Yeah,
ew,
it's like baby bird,
like a baby
like you're
bird.
A monkey? Like yeah. You're like, I'm gonna be a monkey mom.
Does she pick the lice out of his skull?
I probably imagine
what.
There's some sort of theory behind it, supposedly, maybe.
You know what? I'm always interested in that because it's like, well, let's see how this turns out. Well,
I am interested. This seems like a fun experiment.
If you just wait a little bit and they're like, oh, he was a...
No great loss
if
it doesn't.
He ended up smoking some crack and then he ended up like shooting a mall full of people. You could be like, well, don't do that parenting.
Right.
I wonder like what... I don't understand, or I've never actually read the specific theory behind it. I've just heard stories about Alicia Silverstone. One of my friends went to a mutual friend's like kids confirmation, like Catholic confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
There was a woman there who was doing attachment parenting, so it was like had the kid like on the bosom the whole time.
Jesus.
How old is the kid?
Chewing the like communion five. Crackers for
Yeah, it's like something crazy. So anyway, you hear those stories, but I would love to know like what's the actual theory, because at what point are they saying like, hey, you know what's great for a kid is completely coddle them and shelter them and like never have them do anything for themselves?
What's proper parenting? It's all like,
don't let the woolly mammoth step on it.
I feel like that's the main thing.
I'm doing a kick-ass job of
like,
that.
Like monkeys do, like, you know, you just hold on to the fur for the first year or so and just hold on to the parent. They don't like leave you alone.
I think the main takeaway is you should live in a tree.
Yep.
Like that, I've been pitching that as a parenting style since I knew about trees.
Or just leave the baby in a tree.
I like trees. I would want to live in a tree, and
the
baby can
come. Just put the baby up there, and then the crow.
We'll erect a hammock or like a little platform.
I think you just figure out what Dina Lohan did, and then you go opposite. You go just bizarro.
Yeah. Mm. You want to just do the opposite of fucked up kids as parents. But at the same time, you really...
keep them the fuck away from the Disney Channel.
Yeah, don't let a corporation raise your child for
that
money.
That seems to be a pretty... except for Ryan Gosling.
Who would have thought?
Gosling,
if you guys take one thing away
accent,
from this
though.
Podcast, don't let a corporation raise your child for money.
Right. Yeah. Well, that is a good
lesson. I feel pretty good about that advice. I rarely does my advice hold any real water, but I feel good about that one.
But that can go into other things too, though. It's I think mostly the motivation behind those instances was live my dream for me, and I think that's where those parents
that's
get
the
in
root
trouble.
Cause.
Well, yeah, you could do it with baseball. You could do it with wrestling.
I'm taking my baby to like all the open mics, and I'm going to be like, here's all the shows you need to get on, and then I'd be like, no, you've got an angle. You're young. Use your young angle.
You're so cute right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're so cute. Everyone's going to laugh.
You can
don't
get away with all this horse shit. Yeah. I can't.
I'm hearing a lot of goo-goo. I'm not hearing a lot of gaga. Get on it.
It's all right. You could say the N-word even, because like people aren't gonna
no
be like,
one
oh,
can stop you.
Tell that 9-year-old to stop saying the N-word. It'd be like, oh, that's so cute when 9-year-olds say N-words. It'll be funny. Say it! Say the N-word. And then like, dude, I would have the funniest kid, and then I would steal all of his meme. It would be tight.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, like I a little bit get why people do it. You know? You kind of want to have your dreams filled, and you're like, you look at the thing that's like, you killed my dream, so now you will become it. Like,
it makes it's forceful if you think about it. You're like, except giving up, you find a new pathway.
You are my surrogate dream.
Exactly. Right. And it makes a lot of sense.
I would build you into the dream that, yeah, that you stole. Mm-hmm.
And then I just love the idea of continually just having them breastfeed like just until late age is really funny to me. Like that's something that Alicia Silverstone actually did. You're saying like she kept them on the breast until like,
she does chew her food for them.
Yeah, no, the baby bird thing. That's supposedly she does that.
That's so insane. That's,
I think. I mean, you populate, so there's like some science around that where they're not stocked with the right bacteria.
Oh, that's
so you're like, oh, here, like,
but doesn't the boob do that?
Yeah, a lot
but
of
that
it.
Breast
a lot of
that.
Breast milk takes care of a lot
you
of that.
Just
shit.
Dirty Sanchez well, the kid all the time.
It's weird, but also so is like a human coming out of an orifice in your body.
Yeah,
so
the whole thing's weird.
The whole thing is weird.
Yeah, like human
bud, and there's a little yeah.
You're like the kid in Game of Thrones who's like still breastfeeding.
Seriously,
I just make the man fly.
Make him go through the moon door. I just like over at the confirmation, just a little baby sucking on the teeth. Make the priest go through the moon door. It's like, quiet now.
Make the penguin man swim, daddy.
Yeah, my friend's rule of thumb was if the kid's old enough to ask for it, he probably shouldn't still be breastfeeding, which I think is fair.
Yeah. I kind
give
of
me that titty.
I get that feeling also when I see kids like playing on their parents' smartphones in the stroller. And I'm just like, that kid should not be in a stroller if it can play with a smartphone, you know? It's just, and I know there's probably a socioeconomic thing that I'm completely missing out, and there's like a really good think piece out there that I should read about making fun of that. But don't know the reason for like...
There's a think piece for everything.
There definitely is. And I mean, there's somewhere out there, someone tweeted, like, don't you hate when you see like toddlers still in the stroller? And someone was like, actually?
Is that like Leib's Law, where for every thought there are two paragraphs too many written about that?
Oh, yeah. That is great. That is now Leib's Law.
No, if you ever wanted...
I think like Appendix A to Leib's Law is... There's a think piece about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you ever really just wanted to get hate mail, just write anything about parenting. Like, have you ever read comment sections on any, like, it could just be like, don't let your kids run in the street. And then there's like 10 comments.
Actually, I let my son run in the street. And now he's a football captain.
And then there's a comment on that. Yeah, like, right. If you let, that is irresponsible.
Right.
I went to this website. So, guys, I found out something crazy.
About websites.
Quicksandparenting.com. You just made it. Look, you put the kid in quicksand when they're real young so they know how to deal with it in the future.
Now, you got to follow along. Step one, you got to let them sink.
Yeah, let them sink all the way down to the nostrils. So they think they're in peril. No, I
builds confidence.
I found out recently.
You can get out of any situation.
I went to a Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A's In Sacramento, of course, is not around here.
It's the closest one.
And it was the first time I ever ate there, and I had a whole sandwich, and I was like, this is fucking good. I was like really impressed with it. Then I looked on the box.
Yeah, they could be pro-Hitler. I'd still eat those fucking chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, I guess so. I felt a little bit bad about it, but I think they apologized. Anyway, I just had to throw that in there.
I like to imagine.
He's dead now. It doesn't matter.
Did he die?
He died.
Oh,
he was like 95. He was so old.
Fuck Hitler.
I thought they were talking about Hitler too.
Yeah. So apparently they cook their meat in 100% processed peanut oil. I am not deathly, I'm super allergic to peanuts. So I went up to the guy at the front and I was like, dude, is it just the nuggets that are cooked in that, or is it the whole thing? He's like, yeah, it's cooked in peanut oil. I was like, uh-oh. He goes, are you allergic? I was like, yeah. And he said, uh-oh. And I was like, okay. But I didn't feel anything at all, which is super unusual.
Do you have an EpiPen?
I can tell immediately. I don't carry an EpiPen because I'm not allergic enough to die from it. Yeah. I'd have to
you
have a
get
lot.
Real puffy.
But rashes? I was worried. Yeah, I get rashes. I get hives. My throat gets itchy. Mm-hmm. I went and I started Googling like processed peanut oil. I went to a website called like peanutallergy.com, which of course exists.
That's got to be an exciting website.
Yeah.
There's an app for that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And I read all about the fact that you're actually not allergic to the oil. There's like very, very, very small percentage of people who are allergic to peanut oil. It's the protein, and that's all gone from it, especially in like super processed.
That makes sense.
And so I was like, oh, that's awesome. I just learned I can now eat this. And then I read the comments from parents, and it was like, I think you'd still have to be a crazy person to feed your allergic child peanut oil, even if it's 100, I don't care what percentage it is, with no protein, that could kill your child. And I'm thinking to myself, I was like, I think scientists wrote that. Like I understand you're afraid, but there's a certain point where you gotta go like, maybe I wouldn't personally take the chance, and I'm not going to experiment with my child's health, but I'd go, oh, look at that.
You're not allergic.
I don't know. I mean, factual studies and like some random person on the internet's irrational fear, I think that's 50-50. You got to flip a coin at that point.
That's a good point.
Like, or at least do your research.
Yeah. On one hand, you've got, you know, evidence. And on the other hand, like, the guy is like really bad at punctuation.
I would really love if one of the parents said, you guys need to do your research. Here's and it's like, a science
about the science. Internet and babies. And I was thinking about this today because somebody posted something about like, don't give your kid a baby blanket because it'll give it SIDS. I don't know. I didn't read the article. It was just something, and I was like, people on Facebook think that they can stop your baby from dying.
Yeah, they do.
If they put something on the internet,
they think it's their responsibility. Yeah.
They're like, if I have this information and I don't tell all my friends, and then my friend's baby dies from this thing.
Yeah.
I will
it's
be
up to them.
But
every
really
opinion.
That's it? Or do you think that they want to be the ones who said told you so? Because I think they'd rather be the ones who had
about
the baby die.
Yeah.
They want the baby to die so they could
that's
be like,
a dark
see,
way to look at humanity.
It's that is human. Munchausen that, by proxy.
What's that?
It's called Munchausen by proxy.
It straight up is Munchausen by proxy. They're just like, again, you know, my kid's real. I gave it that SIDS blanket and then it died. Wait, SIDS is...
Sudden infant death syndrome.
Oh, I was thinking SARS. What's SARS?
SARS is a
powder thing?
Something Asian. Respiratory.
It's like an
Canada?
It's an avian flu, right?
Or is it different than the avian flu?
I think it's related. I don't know. A lot of stuff comes from chickens.
So SIDS.
Yeah, no one died from SARS, though. That was definitely one of those, like.
Yeah, but it was masks. It was airborne, so everyone wore the masks.
It was
Hong Kong,
sort of the dawn of the ubiquity of the cable news network, so everyone was like, holy shit, I saw in the news, all they're talking about is SARS, because they didn't have any frame of reference of, like, hey, these channels like need shit to talk about.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, holy shit, well, CNN has had like 87 straight hours of SARS programming. It must be really bad.
Yeah. I mean, did it turn out to kill anyone, though?
I don't think anyone died from SARS.
Oh, really? I thought some people died, just not maybe.
They just weren't Americans.
I was 14.
Oh. It was some pagan babies in some far-off country.
Why does it affect us less? For some reason.
No, I'm just...
No. I mean, really.
Joke, Matt. That's the...
No. I mean, it does, though. A little bit. Like, well, in a dark way.
There's a think piece about it.
I mean, like, sometimes, like, it affects me a little bit less when I'm just like... Do you ever see a video? It's like a guy... Okay, I watch a lot of death videos.
You told me that.
And like, you know, a guy, like, he gets into a car accident and he's on fire.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get out of the car. And you're like, no. Yeah. And then you see, like, everyone around him is Asian and you're kind of like, oh, thank God. not in a way because you're black or Asian, but because you're like, oh, good. Because something that horrid could never happen in this country. That's what you're hoping.
Well, it's like the Russian like beat-up videos.
Yeah.
Those are so fun to watch when people like get out and they have an axe and they're like, yeah. And you're like if that was in a video in Michigan, I'd be like, oh, my God. Yeah. People in Michigan are driving around with axes.
Like, you'd be afraid. But then
going to Russia, you're like,
Russian shit. Crazy. Yeah, you're like, well, it's that's why I don't live in Russia. Yeah. It's like stupid thought like you chose like to live
speaking
in
of 24-hour channels, how we don't have a Russian dash cam channel is beyond me.
That's a good point. Yeah. I would watch the fuck out of it.
I would watch that.
There appears to be hours and hours of footage.
Of just, and they, I love how they don't react. That's the coolest shit about Russia. Yeah. They see like a freaking blast from an atomic bomb and they're just
the
like,
guy just flips down his visor.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, okay, the sound isn't on. That's what's happening. And then later, like, you'll hear the door slam and I'll be like, why didn't you scream? Yeah.
Sometimes they'll just be like listening to Skinner and like some dude in a truck will like smash into something and logs will fly out and hit their car and they're just like, and
that's why
all you can hear is the Skinner the whole time.
I like it when it's like some really Euro like techno. Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, and then just like, and then some guy just kind of like rolls off the hood and keeps walking.
Yeah, I saw a video of like a whole family dash cam. I guess it was like at least two people in there drive into a river or something. Their car just was in a river and they were okay, but it's just the water was like up to there. And like at some point, they're like,
how'd they get the cam back?
What's that?
How'd they get the cam back?
I have no idea. It was a great video though. It was like, it was, they were in there and I was like, I didn't hear anything. I was like, you have to say something at some point. And then they were just like, you're like, what the fuck? Like, it was straight up, like, I don't know what they said. They probably didn't even say what the fuck. They probably said, like, look all the water.
Like, they probably made, like, a sarcastic joke about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that one.
Sergei is scared. There's that one. Look at him. He pissed pants.
You were thinking of Scream. He's soft. There's that one supercut.
I forgot to charge my phone.
Yeah, there's the one supercut, and at one point, there's a big truck, and it kind of barrels towards this person and hits the brakes really hard. The driver goes through the windshield. He's still holding on to the steering wheel, and it kind of breaks his fall, and then he just sort of lets go and kind of jogs to a stop, and he's wearing like the soccer jersey that's tucked into the warm-up pants. Yeah. So it's kind of like, to Lee's point, we're like, oh, that's not America. But then he just kind of like, he kind of jogs to a stop and like puts his hands on his hips. Like,
they
he's just
going through a windshield. Than I think anybody, like, I get rear-ended in the city. I'm like, I'm in a daze. Yeah. And they like flip from one person's car onto another when they get rear-ended.
We like, need to stay out of the whole Ukraine shit. Like, we can't fight those fucking people.
We will lose that fight.
People die in this country of sleep apnea. We can't fucking fight those people. People get so fat they die in their sleep here.
They got websites about peanut allergies here.
You think Russians have peanut allergies? They have a test for that at birth in Russia, and then it's like the beginning of the 300. They just leave it out in the
wilderness
for wolves to eat.
And if it comes back crawling with a puffy face, they're like, this one's strong.
This one will plow the fields.
He's back strong like mother.
Yeah, we cannot win a war with them. Every time I see Putin or hear stories about him, I'm just like, fuck, dude.
Shh, Lieb, don't let them know.
He puts radioactive shit in people's food.
He doesn't feel sorry about it at all.
Shouldn't have talked shit.
That's the thing. It was like, he was president. I don't follow it, but it was like, he was president, and then he wasn't president anymore, and he was like advisor to the president, and then he was president again. And then
he was president.
Dictatorship. Yeah.
And then the Prime Minister was the spokesperson for a while. Right. Yeah. Anyway.
And then I think he just said, oh, fuck it. You don't care.
Look at me with
what
a shirt.
What are you going to do about it?
But his releases are so awesome where they're like, yeah, look, we might or might not, but maybe America should stop being pussy. Yeah.
Speaking of dictators, are we going to talk about the Sony hack at all?
I was. All right. So I really wanted to get into that. A couple, just quickly.
Yeah.
My favorite thing was, first of all, I feel bad reading people's private emails, but some of them are so funny that I just can't resist.
The Jonah Hill one was amazing.
So the Jonah Hill one, their plan was to do a tie-in between 22 Jump Street and Men in Black.
Completely illogical.
Wow.
Already.
Has wow. No,
wait, how does
totally
that
different universes.
Hey, we, guys, we are the bad guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you think about it, North Korea might be the good guys.
Oh, they absolutely are.
If they're like, hey, don't murder our president, and we're like, counterpoint, we're going to mix Men in Black and 22 Jump Street.
Right.
We are the monsters.
And you're like, oh, shit.
Evil empire.
Yeah. Moral relativism achieved.
So what did Jonah say?
I can't wait to see the propaganda posters for this one.
So they're talking about tying in 22 Jump Street and Men in Black, and then Amy Pascal is like the Sony head. And then this was just like dropped in the middle of the article, which I love. This is in the Wall Street Journal. In an email to Ms. Pascal, Mr. Hill says, and this is all lowercase, Jump Street merging with MIB. I think that's clean and rad and powerful.
To be on his...
Such a good email.
That's so Jonah Hill like trying to sound smart.
That's such a good email.
In his defense, though, if somebody was like, "This is going to make a crazy amount of money,"
oh yeah,
and you're going to be in it, and I'm the head of Sony, I'd be like, well, "Clean, rad, powerful."
Yeah, that's true. No, I mean, dude, like my emails to my boss or like someone that I work with that I'm trying to sound excited about something for. God, that'd be the most embarrassing thing in the world.
This idea is Lion King of the Beasts. It rules the jungle with an iron claw, and I just want to endorse this lion.
I feel like this is smooth and streamlined. I like power. Powerful is the one.
This idea is like, a jet like fighter a powered by a lion or like king a of the
Martin
jungle.
Luther King speech.
One at a time, for Christ's sake.
Sorry.
Well, yeah,
it was Brett's fault.
Yeah.
No, the powerful. I'm with you on the powerful thing. I used to have a boss who would like talk in front of a group and be like, "Who feels powerful today?" Like, Jesus Christ. I just wanted to kick him in the dick.
So the best part about it is it's all lowercase, no punctuation. Jump Street merging with MIB. I think that's clean and rad and powerful.
I read it as MIB. Yeah, MIB. It's all lowercase. MIB.
That's how insiders refer to it.
Yeah, wait, so that was suggested, obviously, by the Sony MIB. Head, right? That right. wasn't suggested by Jonah Hill. He didn't just say, Sony.
No, he's just giving it the okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm down.
His nice way of saying, "I'm sure, whatever." Like that's what that sounds like.
Right.
To me. Yeah, sure. Rad.
But it's so funny.
Powerful is great.
No, but that's his way of saying
I think it's clean and powerful and rad.
Yeah.
He seems like a conscientious nice guy.
He seems like he's trying really hard to be like to sound
like Jonah
like
Hill?
Serious artist guy, and you're like, all right, bro, we get it. You're a good actor. You don't have to.
He was partying in Atlanta with my brother when he was shooting some like Neighbors or Neighborhood Watch or whatever Neighbors? Down there. Neighborhood Watch.
Oh, yeah, the neighbor. That's right.
Yeah, they were shooting in Atlanta, and he just like pulled up in a BMW to like the local bar and like started hanging out with my brother and his friends and was like fell in love very quickly. Yeah, right by the Claremont Lunch. Fell in love very quickly with my brother's friend and was like, I'm going to marry her. And was just like totally a softy, like dumb dude.
He
like,
is.
Was she clean and rad and powerful?
She was not interested. That's what she was.
He's
like this is pre-Oscar.
He's a really amazing actor. I was going to say.
I agree. Yeah.
Yes.
You linked the Inside SoCal video, and I'm with you where it's just like, those are some next level.
So
it is a little bit niche because when I watched it, I sort of felt like, and we may have even talked about this on the broadcast, but I kind of felt like someone could watch that and think it was a caricature.
Right.
You know.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You're talking about the Kyle Mooney video?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
they don't understand the accuracy of the character.
Extremely accurate, where he's like, gets all.
Let's see what's up with Karen. Karen, what's happening with you?
I kind of feel like I'm not like. My dad's like the original gangster, and I kind of feel like I'm not that tied of a son back to him. I swear that's like something. I probably heard that at some point. There's a guy got too drunk and spilled his guts to me.
I think that's pretty gangster.
Yeah.
I think art can be pretty gangster.
I feel like my dad's like the original gangster. Also underrated about that video is when the dad comes home, he's rocking all the Tommy Bahama gear, which is, there's like, that's a very specific like sub genus of, I'm probably not using my scientific classifications right, but like.
Phylum.
Yeah, like a different phylum of dad, which is like the SoCal dad. Mm-hmm. Where he's just got like all the Tommy
Always
Bahama.
Tommy Bahama.
Kind of like leather slipper loafers and khaki shorts and a big Tommy Bahama shirt. And you got to be fat.
Tonight's MVP of the night is our boy Keith here through this kickback. So we're going to check in with Keith to see how he made this party. So gangster.
What up, Keith?
Hey, what up?
What up?
What up?
So how did you make this party?
I hit up my boy Corey, and that's how Bryce and them heard about it.
Oh, right.
Okay, nice. And Ian Hardman's obviously staying with Corey, so right. He came through, and then we just kind of hooked up the bomb-ass carnita spread.
You know what's weird is that that's...
Hey.
It's not really...
What's that, Mr. Andrews? Throwing a party? What's going on here? It's just a kickback, Dad.
It's just a what?
It's just a kicker, dude.
It's just a kickback.
No parties. It's just a kicker.
That's not even, like, the accent is definitely SoCal, but, like... That is a breed of guy that I've known my whole life from, like, Atlanta yeah. to here.
Yeah, Atlanta like is the, very similar to that for, mm-hmm. in some weird way.
Like, hey, who's coming over later? It's going to be good?
I think there's just a little bit of everything in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of how I feel
it's
about
it. It's a metropolitan place. I almost said museum, and I was like, that's not right.
The crazy thing about that is specifically how San Diego it is.
Right.
Because, yeah. like, I grew up in Southern California. I knew some people like that, and then I went to San Diego, and I was like, oh, genetically, this yeah. is where all those dudes are from.
Holy shit. It's yeah. It's the like mothership.
It's the mothership, exactly. And so, like, watching that, you're like, holy fuck. They yeah. nailed it. And they nailed it because, like, you know, Kyle Mooney is from San Diego. Yeah. But, like... Everyone else nails it.
I actually didn't know that. I thought, yeah.
Louvre used to know him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Matt Louvre used to know him.
I was like, watching it, I was like, there's no way this guy hasn't spent a ton of time in San Diego because this is like yeah. so perfectly accurate.
Yeah, unbelievably accurate.
And I didn't realize that, like, when we went to college there, like, I grew up in Fresno, which is totally landlocked. So my only, like, we'd go to the coast like twice a year and I'd just be like, oh my God, I've been stuck in like this weird part, this armpit of California for my whole life.
Right.
I need to go to the coast. It's going to be so amazing.
Yeah. Coast,
and then I went there for college and then I didn't realize there's a whole like culture change.
Yeah.
And there's all these people where I was like, wow, I thought people I grew up with were dumb.
Yeah, right. Like, Jesus Christ. Just like a whole dim city.
I want listeners to know I don't agree with these guys' views on San Diegans.
It's not like the whole city, but it's just like every city has their
dumb.
Right. Well, every city has their particular flavor of dumbass,
and their flavor is specifically UFC fighter dumbass. Like that's right. the way.
There's a lot of different dumbasses though. I think that's what makes San Diego special. Is you've got the chill surf bro dumbass. You've got the tap out dumbass.
Yeah.
By the way, I went.
Yeah, that's two. Yeah, that is two separate things.
Yeah, you've got. Well, then you've got the like. Over like testosterone out military dumbass.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
There's like a lot.
It is a spectrum.
It's a cornucopia. It's a rainbow of dumbass.
Yeah.
I went out in Pacific Beach. It was like my first time back in San Diego. I was like 24 and I felt old as shit in Pacific Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like a UFC fight
yeah.
and it was like mayhem. Like just everyone was like whipped into this frenzy. Like all the tap out Tommies were just like there.
Street brawling.
They were there to roll. Oh,
we're gonna get kicked out of this bar.
Yeah,
I spend $55 to watch them at my house now because, like last time I was at, even here I was just at Silver Cloud, and I had some drunk dude like just staring me down, being like, "Fuck you, man." Let's fucking go. And I'm just like trying not to make eye contact, even though I totally know he's talking to me.
Other people fight. Yeah. I don't want to
fight you in a bar, dude.
Yeah, it's weird. I do feel like I'm like I never feel more unsafe than when I'm in San Diego, especially in like the what is that, the Gaslamp district?
Yeah, it is like
I feel unsafe because I know someone's gonna be like, "You think you're fucking better than me," and it's like,
well, that's just because you're a little faggy queer,
right? Exactly. They can
and you're
smell
tall.
It on
tall
me.
Guys tall. Are definitely a little bit more
you got
of a
those
target.
Glasses.
Yeah, yeah, they're like they know that I hate their music. And
well, you don't like POD, bro?
You're that guy that talks shit on Linkin Park in that guy's movie.
They're defending the honor
get him!
Of Linkin Park.
Yeah. He interviewed the guy from Linkin
Park.
You
don't like rapping and DJs and rock?
It's crazy.
These are the three
Vince
best musical genres together.
Vince and I were there a few years ago, and we were in the Gaslamp, and we were standing outside the bar because we were waiting for our group to all congregate. And I still remember there was a guy who was very drunk yelling at a cab driver. He's got the back door open and he's yelling at the cab driver. And whatever he said, the cab driver said, you know, fuck this guy. I'm not picking him up. And so the cab driver kind of like stomps on the gas, guns it forward. The door closes, but he didn't like peel out. He just went like, vroom.
Yeah, right.
And so the guy runs after it and kicks the side of the car. And then the cabbie just keeps going. And turns left, and I just see this guy like
T-1000.
Yeah, like the T-1000 just chasing this car, and he goes around the corner, and I was just like, like I hadn't been there in a while. I was living up here, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
Oh, right.
I forgot what it's like down here.
Is there anything like somebody kicking the side of a car? It's like the most emasculating. Yeah, like,
he was
kind of
like running and sort of like soccer kicking it because he was kind of parallel to the car, so it wasn't even like a good like bow like Charlie Murphy kicking Rick James in the chest. It was kind of like this like wussy soccer kick, like
like the taxi was a hacky sack that he was trying to fucking hit.
I only understand things in hacky sack terminology.
Oh, man.
Well, as Justin Halpern likes to say, the city flag of San Diego should be a drunk bro yelling across the street while his girlfriend cries and tries to hold him back.
Yep. It's so true.
I live in North Beach. That's basically the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. That is so accurate. That is super accurate.
So, all right. So I feel bad about these leaks, but some of them are pretty amazing. And also, it's just, it really puts a point on how shitty all workplaces are.
Yeah. Right.
And my favorite one is there's one where they leaked all these PowerPoint slides of like the marketing brainstorming sessions.
Is so, that real?
Yes,
that's
real.
Not, come on.
It's real.
That so, is not real.
All right, so let me describe this for the listeners.
I can't see it. Is it a flowchart?
Oh, God. Holy
no,
shit.
No,
it's worse.
What do you call these things?
I work in marketing.
Oh,
this is terrifying.
Fuck.
Speech bubbles?
All right, calm down, Brett.
Is it a flowchart?
So I can explain it to the listeners. What are these things called with the little bubbles?
Flowchart?
It's not a flowchart. It's like
a cluster chart.
Cluster. It's like a cluster chart. So it's a slide for grown-ups too. And in the middle it says key themes, and then around it it says humor. Another one is fun, loyalty, adventure, and friendship. And those are the.
This is how things like Dr. Face Hands happens. Like
it's like what you do when you're brainstorming, you mind map, right? Where you start with a center like core concept, and you build out from there. You build your pillars out where you're like, all right, what are the secondary concepts? How do we stay true to this core thing? But like, no one can think.
Yeah,
like they're all just like sow bugs. Right there, like it's like a sow bug's mind map, and you're just like celery, and then
roll into ball.
Roll into ball. Eat the celery. Live in the dirt. I'm a sow bug.
Roly poly.
Yeah, they got a lot of different.
I call them roly polies too.
Yeah, I call them roly polies.
Just like
pill bugs,
guys. What's this movie like? How should people feel about this movie?
They should feel humor. They should feel
like
that's not real. That one's not real. That one just has an offshoot bubble that says the color blue.
It's for Smurfs too. One of the themes for the Smurfs too is the color blue.
Spoiler alert.
Family.
God bless North Korea.
Teamwork. Love and happiness. Aww. Friendship.
Al Green songs.
Be who you choose to be.
Yeah.
Naughty versus nice. One is eco/green/environmental.
Wasn't naughty bubbles versus nice like the tagline? Wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it was.
Oh God!
What I love about
and the other one, the last one is magic.
Oh, of course.
Magic should be in every movie.
I think it's wrong to put people in the state of mind where they're empowered to shout things out, because it really puts you in a retard. Because we do this thing called
dump truck.
Yes. Small animal.
Sad.
We did baby fish mouth. Smurf
horse.
Chickpea.
We do this show. I don't do that, but I'm sometimes on the show. It's called It's Just 2 Minutes, and it's like improvised stand up. Mm-hmm. And the last round they do, it's like a game where it's like, I like my women like I like my
coffee.
And then they give the audience suggestions. It's fun, but after about 10 minutes of that, you like walk outside and you're in this whole like weird state of mind where you just want to shout out like, North Korea, pill bugs, bicycle spokes,
September 11th,
my grandma, happiness. Like you just like shout out. You're like
D-joling.
And so then if you're in a
Darva Conger
1776
Potsdam Conference.
Chinese ladies collecting cans.
Oh God, that was like from the archives of my brain.
You pulled that stuff from.
I think I just unconcussed myself to remember.
You rebuilt the damaged tissue.
Yeah.
I just love that like the idea is like somebody is attacking, like North Korea is attacking
Because you know they are. Like, it must yeah, be. Yeah. Like, they're like, we didn't do it, but we plot it. Like, that they think that Sony is, like, a major American power and not, right. like, this completely
or I think one thing that we forget with some of these, like, foreign policy problems is, like, North Korea has no concept that, like, Sony is a company that has its own agency. Yeah, and
it's
like,
actually a Japanese company.
Or, that's right. Yeah, it's a Japanese company. You know, or even, like... the whole Benghazi thing, right? It's like somebody put a video on YouTube and they're like, the American media, you know, and it's like, there's no concept of like some jerk
also their PR, like, oh, their national PR guy is a very loose grasp of English.
Let me read you the hacker's message about pulling the interview, which North Korea was angry about, you know, totally separate issues. The hacker's message to Sony. We have already given our clear demand to the management team of Sony. However, they have refused to accept. It seems that you think everything will all be well if you find out the attacker while no reacting to our demand. We are sending you our warning again. Do carry out our demand if you want to escape us. And stop immediately showing the movie of terrorism, which can break the regional peace and cause the war. You, Sony and FBI, cannot find us. We are perfect as much.
You, Sony and FBI.
That you're working
in. Peas in a pod.
The destiny of Sony is totally up to the wise reaction and measure of Sony.
The official one from North Korea was very wink-winking. They're like, we didn't do it, but whoever did it must be very handsome and strong.
Please respond to this message three times, for three is the most lucky of all numbers.
And not to plug maybe a rival movie country. Criticism, oh. But AV Club has this, whenever they have an article about this, it's like, that is hopefully not a PR stunt. Like, they always right. have a disclaimer about that, because it's like...
Yeah, stop moving all our traffic over to AV Club.
Hey, how dare
you? We're going to bleep that out. Yeah. We're going to bleep that out.
So the actual North Korean, the official North Korean statement from the KCNA, we do not know where in America the Sony Pictures is situated, and for what wrongdoings it became the target of the attack.
Culver City.
But what we clearly... What we clearly know is that the Sony Pictures is the very one which was going to produce a film abetting a terrorist act while hurting the dignity of the supreme leadership of the DPRK.
Abetting?
Well, they were aiding and abetting.
Yeah. The statement goes on to speculate that the hack might be, quote, a righteous deed of the supporters and sympathizers of North Korea. Yeah.
Right, because people just do
who
it.
May or may not be very handsome.
Yeah, good for the... Like, who was this Evan Goldberg, Seth Rogen movie?
The interview, yeah.
Yeah.
God, they've given us so much entertainment. They screwed themselves, sort of, like...
In what way?
Well, I mean,
look
now...
Look how their SSNs are out there.
We get to make fun of Jonah Hill's dumb emails, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, I'm seeing the fuck out of this movie. And not only that, but... like, that's a dream, I think. That's a dream to be able to make a movie that gets a whole government
well,
to
Well, if you choose to watch capitalist propaganda, then you too shall be targeted for the merriment and great righteousness of the moving forward of the ideals and dignity of the North Korean people.
Well, I love it.
The cool thing is, like... Like, that's, you know, you somebody in America, even though foreign policy would probably be like, hey, let's not make a movie that would probably annoy North Korea a lot and make them really, like, fucking weird and doing all
right,
this
like,
shit.
If they ask permission from the government, they'd say, ugh, don't.
Please don't. Yeah. We gotta send
but
the FBI
they
now.
They don't have to ask permission from the government. Right. They're like, no, we're gonna make a funny movie about us trying to kill Kim Jong-un. It'll be hilarious. And they're like, all right, let's make
we're
it.
We're not gonna pretend like this is a real thing. Yeah.
It is Kim Jong-un.
I know, you pronounce it nice.
Who pronounces it?
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong. Yeah, Kim Jong. Bitch, Kim Jong. Tyrant, Kim Jong.
You're gonna get us hacked.
Mouse a tongue.
What a bitch. He is a bitch, though.
Like, yeah. He's not half the man his father was. Yeah.
Well, he was out for 2 weeks with a gout or something.
Yeah, because he's addicted to Swiss cheese.
Yeah, oh. He can't stop eating Swiss cheese.
What are they? I wonder what their reaction was. What was their reaction?
I love that. that. I hate that he hand grenades his uncle, and that he fed his uncle to the dogs and hand grenaded all the.
It was a cluster bomb.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then so that sucks. But like, I love that he's addicted to Swiss cheese because he's a fucking dork.
He's 29. Like, how much Swiss cheese would you have to eat?
Enough to look out.
29.
I like how he's also really into basketball, and so I can totally like picture him like. Like shooting hoops against all these people, and like talking shit and trying to have like swag, and it's like these people were hired to just like fall over when he crosses them up.
Like the best basketball player in the country has to like trip and break his nose on the floor when
he has to literally break his ankles when he gets crossed over.
Yeah,
that's so funny, man. Like he's because I have the feeling that his father actually enjoyed like saw Team America and. Kind of enjoyed it, you know, a little bit because he loved movies, you know. But I imagine his son watching it and going, "Dad, you don't understand. They're making fun of us. We need to stop this. Once I am ruler, I will stop anyone from making fun of me.
And eat so much cheese.
And eat all the cheese. That's the second thing. I'm gonna number one, stop them from making fun of me. Number two, eat all of the cheese."
I think that was George W. Bush's exact.
That's what he ran on.
Do you remember like
eat all the cheese and get those bastards who tried to kill my dad?
Yeah. There was this amazing press release when he supposedly went golfing and it said he shot like a 34.
Oh right, yeah.
He had like 8 holes in one.
Right, yeah.
Oh man, that was so good.
Well, and all the flowers bloomed and
then
on
he
the
had,
trees.
Yeah, and then he had never golfed before. He did that and then he gave up golfing because you could never do any better than
They've got some poor guy digging the hole as the ball's in the air. It's like, man, you gotta go faster. He's gonna fucking grenade you.
It's a really beautiful thing when like a dictator's like terribleness, like inhumanity, is in direct proportion to its ridiculousness.
Yeah, it's kind of it is.
It must like be a little bit boring though, because you know how like at first when you're like, you know, you get the game Genie for your Sega, and you're like, I'm gonna do this on with all the codes, and then you just walk through the whole fucking game, and you're just like, this is actually way boring.
Like his whole life is Breaking Madden.
Yeah, his whole life is just Breaking Madden. Like after a while, you're like,
he just throws the guy through the basketball.
But if you've been raised on that, like your ability to have new experiences goes out the window immediately, where you're like, I'm gonna have to set someone on fire.
Well, that's what I mean, like
that makes you into a
you
dummy.
Would have to behead a cheetah to get an erection.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, so I can't imagine any of this is any fun for him, you know.
Buddy.
Like
the cheese sounds like he's having
the cheese is like a real physical thing.
There was that one, like the one that was supposed to be, I don't know who he is in the family, but I read an article about him that there was somebody in the Kim Jong family who was going to be the heir, and then he tried to sneak into Disneyland, like Disneyland Tokyo, with a passport.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, you can't be the heir anymore because you like Western fun.
Western shit.
You want to have a good time outside of North Korea.
Yeah. We have our own Disneyland. It's where you get to eat every day. It's really fun.
They have that dolphin park.
Do they have a dolphin park?
Yeah, it was like they spent a bunch of money that they could have fed their population with on a dolphin park.
That's more depressing
you touch
than
the dolphin.
Discovery Kingdom.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I read a book called Nothing to Envy, and it was about that. And it's just fucking depressing and bleak about like how it was so bad where people are like foraging in the hills for like flowers.
Yeah,
to
the
eat.
Bark flower. Yeah. You have to read, there's another one. It's called Dear Leader. It's written by this guy who was made the poet laureate of North Korea when he was in his 20s, because he wrote this poem like as a college student that Kim Jong-il just like really liked, and so eventually he defects, and but because he was so high up, like, you know, most people, you know, they cross over into China and whatever happens, but this guy was so high up that he crossed over into China, and then the North Koreans like put out a statement saying he was like a murderer, so then he had to like he couldn't. It was much harder to have
flee. Like amnesty.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, you got to send him. China's got to send him back.
Oh, man. They could just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Anyway, great.
But back to Sony. This PowerPoint, they have an After Earth PowerPoint.
What?
And
I love how these things are tied together. It's such a weird...
seven bubbles that all say Jaden.
Well, there is actually
weird
one that says...
accents. Yeah.
There is actually one that says emphasize Will over Jaden in bold.
Oh.
I hope he saw that.
But then, I know you'll burn.
But then the one that I really like is After Earth is an ecosystem of content and brand initiatives to begin launching in spring 2012.
So many jobs are created.
So they've got like a
moves.
StarCraft like box with a superimposed title, and like it's I've seen these Photoshop files. And there's like a lot of layers.
Oh my God.
There's like hundreds and hundreds
there's
of
like
layers.
There's like four video things. Games
How
in there.
How is this what they overcomplicated and then themes of a movie they had, would have fun and adventure? I don't.
That's so great though.
Brands that, oh, for that's the not themes. A theme of a movie. Brands that withstand the test of time. Has your product survived over.
This is the marketing. That's
for,
though,
this is still
to
for
be
After
fair.
Earth.
I don't know.
Brands.
Futuristic products, high performance.
Did we talk about marketing Brands. Last time?
We kind of talk about it a lot.
None of these are words that go together. These aren't even...
I work in marketing.
Marketing. That sounds like fun.
But do you make PowerPoints about brands that withstand the test of time?
No.
Will Smith's fans, Jaden Smith's fans, extreme sports fans.
Early adopters.
My company actually
females.
Follows up on females. Their like, weird thing.
They females. Wrote females. Oh, fuck.
One of the target audiences.
That's half. Half of the population.
That's the target audience, and they use the nerds
everything
for it.
Men are broken they down into subcategories.
Women. Yeah.
Vaginas.
I picture someone like
size.
Putting their feet up like on a alien. Desk and like interlocking their fingers behind their head and taking a big exhale and going, females.
This one's going to be for the bruds.
All right. My work's done today.
There's what?
There's another part of this
oh,
Venn
it says
diagram.
Fan girls.
There's one another part of this Venn diagram that
the
says.
It says electronic fans. What are the target audiences? It's electronic fans.
People who like electronics?
You just look in the audience. There's a bunch of fans. Yeah. And then with clickers.
And there's one North Korean who's like, don't fall asleep or it'll suck out your breath. You guys know about fans?
It's not a typo. It says new technology / electronic fans. Yeah.
They're all oscillating at like different
this
intervals.
Is really comforting to me because
pay attention, fans.
I eventually would like to work in the movie industry in no, some form or capacity, no. And then to see like just how dumb some of it is. It's like, yeah. Oh, I could totally work there. Like I could be.
John, let me tell you something. If your father wasn't a fan, you got a tough sled ahead of you.
All jobs are bullshit.
Oh yeah.
All jobs are fake. Like that's the one. If there's one thing that's true, it's that like on
society is fake. It's made up.
It's all made up. It's all just keep trying to get that job.
We should be hunting each other for meat.
Levi's.
So you can make money, which is also totally meaningless.
It's all fake and meaningless. It's all you could do it. Like
fake and gay.
There's everything's. This whole world is fake and gay. It's just so.
I'm getting that tattooed on my chest.
Yeah.
The world is fake and gay.
Yeah.
Just like the Universal logo where it's like a globe, but then there's like a ribbon around it that says fake and gay.
Oh, someone make that, please. Graphic designers in the who listen to the Frotcast, please make the Universal logo, but it says fake and gay.
So this one's great. I love, because one of my favorite things about movie marketing is these companies that do tracking and research, and they like put numbers, like they go ask 50 people at a mall during the middle of the day, and they're like, this is what we found out, and you should base your marketing on it. And you're like, that is a terrible idea. Uh-huh. But they're the only game in town. And the movie industry, they need those people to create numbers so that they can create a plan, and when the shit goes wrong, they can be like, I don't know, man, I was just following the numbers.
Right, yeah, sure.
But anyway, so this slide is called, this one's for Smurfs too, and it's headlined Key International Research Findings.
Can I just say, in the future, I can't sit where I can view the laptop while you're reading it, because
it's too much.
It's too much.
Key International Research Findings, bullet point one. Teens love the Smurfs too. Sub bullet point. 58% of teens describe the Smurfs language as, quote, funny. Sub bullet point two. Teens were the most likely to classify the Smurfs as cool.
You gotta say the quotes so people know how emphasized.
Oh yeah, no, I got
also,
it.
Also, who uses only one bullet point and then goes straight into sub bullet points?
Yeah, that's unless you've got other.
No, psychopaths do that.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's like there's one answer.
Yeah, the one is psychopath.
What's the sub bullet point three, Vince?
The film's quote comedy and quote humor emerged as the most appreciated element of the film for teens.
It was pretty bad.
Where is Jason Dove? Because I never believed in lizard people before. But like, this is like something from lizard people.
The earth is totally hollow.
Humans love humor.
Humans, yeah. They call it humor.
Make blue people think weird. Watch more.
Electronic fans, not quite as much.
They tried to create a meme for grown-ups too, where they encourage people to send like side-by-sides of their childhood pictures next to their grown-up pictures.
No.
Grown-up kids. As this cool internet meme, we'll invite the audience to recreate photos from their childhood and post them on the movie fan page on Facebook. That has nothing to do with the movie.
Oh, believe me, I've been in a marketing meeting where somebody has said, what if we made like a viral video?
Oh, and yeah. And you're like... You're like, no, really. He's you pointing. Cool it. He's pointing and drooling cool right now.
He's spasming.
Brett is going to die.
Brett, are you okay?
It's just got Spider-Man 2, and in the middle is categories, and off the one it says gas stations petrol.
It says what?
Gas station/petrol.
Okay, all right. This one is almost. This is ridiculous. So the slide is just called The Amazing Spider-Man 2. These are the bubbles. Gas station/petrol. Carbonated beverage. Branded confectionery/gum. Adhesives.
It makes sense. Adhesives. I get that one.
QSR.
Don't know.
Electricity.
Wait, it's
one of those electricians.
Okay, because I thought this was one of those things where it's like, let's brand
electricity.
I thought this might be like a, hey, let's make pencils, which can kind of I don't know what dumb idea.
Someone thought that they could brand electricity.
Branded the postal service, so.
Antivirus watches.
Here are things that humans use. Shall we do a campaign on Twitter?
Shaving cream.
No, Twitter is what journalists use houses. To congratulate each other and announce job changes.
Houses people, to live inside of.
These people are probably Frugs. smart people. Like, these aren't probably... No. Give me the space.
Okay,
these are probably people. Educated people educated. Yeah. Who study this, have a lot of knowledge, and then you stick them all in a room together... And this shit comes
and
out.
They hit each and other in not, the face with cricket bats.
It's like a regression to the mean.
They're not stupid at all.
There's this so is, many
these
people.
These are a bunch of fucking geniuses
they
who are keeping
made a lot
their
of money.
Jobs. Yeah. One of their suggestions was electricity. And they that's and fear. They it got on the board. Yeah. There was a dude next to him was like, that's so fucking stupid.
This
fucking idiot. And they're like, no, put electricity on the board. That's going on. And then he looked over and then his little lizard eye blinked.
Sideways.
Then he put moisture into his lizard eye with his tongue.
Yeah, that's not the reaction of stupidity. That is the reaction of fear.
Oh yeah,
there is a mechanical entity that they are afraid of. They're like, I just don't want the robot claw again. I don't know if I can take that one more time. What do we say about gas station/petrol?
Well, that's why people give bad ideas in group meetings. Is because they're fear. Scared of being
do
weird.
You remember that,
if I don't get my common noun on the board, I might get fired.
Oh yeah, there was that. One word. You just give the word.
Saturday Night Live commercial with the robots eating all the old people's medication.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone's like afraid of like the robot just coming in and being like, blah, 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 blah.
It's robot.
Not enough ideas on the board, and like taking someone out of the room and like eating them.
No, I said electricity.
Blah blah blah. Not good enough. All right, I gotta go.
Did you watch the Babadook?
I didn't.
Okay, good.
So it's perfect.
Okay.
I didn't either, but.
It's fine. You want to talk into a real...
I get to switch. Okay.
Yeah.
As long as you don't mind taking Matt Leib's sloppy seconds mic.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
There's nicotine spittle all over it.
Yeah.
You're not going to give me a massage before you leave?
Oh, I can't. I got to take a shit.
The massage was exceptional.
Well, I'll take a shit and then come back out and give you a massage.
Perfect.
All right. Bye, guys.
Perfect.
Bye.
Bye, Matt.
Bee. Babadook.
The Babadook.
We got 50 some minutes in before we got to the Babadook. Is that a new record? I don't know.
Probably not.
All right. So one of my favorite things about horror films is that.
I'm gonna stop doing this because I have no idea what's happening.
He just gets the same slide. He just clicked back to it. Oh, yeah. It's like salty
electricity.
Snacks. It was salty snacks and electricity right next to each other.
Oh, well, to help with movies,
current
popcorn.
Go better. It helps conduct current better.
It's true.
With the salt.
Yeah, we learned that.
Yeah.
So
we learned that through Spider-Man.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about horror movies is like a good one comes out, and suddenly I'll be like, oh, horror movies can actually be okay. But then you write about it on the internet, and all the people that are like hardcore horror fans are like, sucked, wasn't scary at all. And so Heather reviewed The Babadook today, and like these are the comments on the Facebook page. I thought it was awful. And I clicked on that girl's profile, and she has like a quote from Sex and the City 2 as her background image.
Two?
Yeah.
And just
not
text?
Even one?
Not even one.
Ooh.
Next person. This movie is not good.
Descriptive, your fans.
I hope.
I read some of these. You sent it to me, and I wish you would stop doing
mediocre.
That.
It said mediocre.
Yeah,
mediocre.
Mediocre.
Another person says pure garage. I think you meant garbage. Pure garage.
Why it's, are the angriest people the worst?
You can
sellers?
Park your car inside it.
No fear of cars. My garage isn't scary at all. I'll go in any garage. I'm not afraid.
I sort of fear the modern horror fan because I grew up feeling like I was a big horror fan. I really liked all the 80s slasher movies. I watched a lot of horror growing up, and I felt like I really liked it. And I felt like the divorce finally came when saw Cabin Fever. I know we all really
we
liked
Cabin Fever,
and I was like, cool, like it's horror and it's funny and it's doing all these cool things. And then the next movie that Eli, maybe not the next movie, the next movie Hostel. I remember him coming out with was Hostel. And I was like, well, I'm a horror fan and I'm going to see Hostel. And I saw it in the theaters and I'm like, that was an hour and a half of people getting tortured. That was not a horror film.
That's when I started watching horror movies when those started popping up. And then that's what that became was it's like, you're going to go and you're going to have to watch someone crawl through needles. It's like, you're going to have to be like really viscerally uncomfortable, like not scared, not excited, not horny, none of that. You're just gonna feel like shit.
Yeah, 80s slasher movies, you knew you were gonna see multiple righteous pairs of breasts.
Right. You get the boobs and the murder. Yeah. It is all fun.
That was 80s comedy too, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
80s were the golden age of just boobs.
Yeah, they're like
unnecessary boobs.
Yeah. Yeah,
but, and then the moralizing about having your boobs out, because that's why you get killed.
That's why you get killed, yeah.
Because it's
even,
wrong.
Even like Caddyshack had some great nude stuff. And we were complaining about like Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl and Knocked Up. But I mean, go back to Caddyshack.
For not having a bra on?
No, just like people, oh, he's too schlubby. He would never get a hot chick, blah, blah, blah. And then you go back to Caddyshack and you're like, holy shit, there's this weird...
Chevy Chase?
No, the caddy kid. He was like banging the rich dude's slutty.
I don't remember him being. That was all. It's all male fantasy stuff. Though.
I know.
It's all like I'm a poor kid from the wrong side of the tracks, and the hot girl wants to bang me.
Yeah, Porky's and meatballs.
All of them.
And
because girls go to the movie with the boyfriend.
Yeah, I would go a step farther. I was gonna try not to bag on genre fans, but I think that like there's a fundamental thing with your personality, if you are so gung-ho that you need to watch the same movie and over again, that you're just like, yay, candy corn! Like, there's a developmental issue.
It's a weird, fascistic...
Well, it's different than fanboy. I don't want to say, like, there is a fanboy element, but they're separate. Like, the fanboy is, like, about control and about mastery of a non-existent place.
But
this is different. This is like, I want to see the same thing over and over again.
Right.
And, like, anything that deviates from that
is wrong.
That's just
what
like,
I don't
yeah.
understand is, like, there's a just don't... This is the cry of the internet for so long. Just don't watch it then.
Yeah.
Like, just don't. Why does it matter?
Or don't comment on Facebook.
This isn't what I want.
Stuff.
Yeah.
There's
but it can be
stuff.
It can be for anything. It can be like a horror. Even put that aside. Like I watched Grand Budapest Hotel, and I liked it. It's all right.
But I
watched it, and the whole time I'm thinking that Wes Anderson is repeating himself so hard that I know everything that he does has become so codified that he is now built.
He's a genre.
He is a genre unto himself, and he's built this legion of fans where, like, now I'm like, yeah, I like Grand Budapest Hotel. It wasn't my favorite. And then you get a bunch of people immediately being like, bro, if you didn't like that movie, you don't like Wes Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to keep it. They want
it's like everything's like a litmus test where it's like you don't have street cred if you don't like
the borders are defined, and they want to make sure the borders don't fucking move, because if the borders move, what does it mean?
The larger
like they've invested in this thing.
It's like listening to
the thing can't change.
It's like listening to a new EDM song. You're like, where's the breakdown?
Where's the buildup? I want to hear that bass drop.
I want to hear the bass drop.
Bass drop needs to be quicker, bro.
But if you're seeing a movie for its conventions, you've already fucking failed my litmus test.
By the way, I just dated myself. It's the bass drop, not the breakdown.
Is it the bass drop
now? I grew up listening to hardcore. Gotta wait for the breakdown.
It's wub, 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 wub. This doesn't even have any wub wubs, bro. Yeah.
There's no wub in it?
It's a bass drop.
I gotta think of that wub wub deep up.
Yeah.
I just, the whole, I'm thinking of the larger idea of wrongly, of the idea that you are supposed to be mad at somebody for liking something you don't like.
Yes. Yes.
And that somehow you get to say, this movie sucks.
Yes.
I and you do, because it's
and that's
the
what that says about you.
Yeah. Yes.
This, you're a dumbass.
By implication, you're an awful person.
Yes, I was listening to Fanagram on exactly the right over here. And
but
I
like
know.
To get a chunk of movies, so I like it to be maximally alienating mm-hmm. in my...
Just a whole
time. Yeah. I don't want to have friends.
Right. And I like, I'll listen to Kesha on the bus, and it'll be blasting, and I'll be like, man, somebody's going to hear me listening to this Kesha, because God damn it, I love that Die Young song. I'm going to jam out to that
sing
on my birthday.
I'm
going to love
What's that sound like?
Let's make the most of this night, because we're going to die.
There's a breakdown
young.
In that that's the fucking best. I love that song.
Yeah.
And I know it's garbage. I know it's terrible, quote unquote.
Oh, but the... Oh, so...
But I'm
it's
worried.
Going down,
I get
but
worried.
I'm yelling timber. Yeah.
But like, there's
that's
so
my favorite.
I'm gonna go buy the Hunger Games 3 soundtrack, and I'm just gonna listen the shit out of that because I found out that that's a thing, and maybe I'm really into Lorde now. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I'm really into that, and that's not
people
me.
Feel comfortable trying to make other people feel bad about what they like.
No, it's just that doesn't fit into my mold of who I was up until I found out I'm really into Lorde.
That makes you more complex. That
yes,
makes you
exactly.
Layered.
You want that. You want that moment where you're like, oh shit, I didn't think I'd like this.
You
want to
be your full
be
self
great.
And not an idea of a
but,
person.
But that's,
sorry,
yeah, that's,
we're off of the Babadook.
No, that's relevant because I don't think it's about telling people what to like and not like. It's about in-group, out-group, where it's
yes.
like, we've created this imaginary yeah. group for ourselves, and if you don't like this thing, you're not yeah. part of the group anymore.
Yeah. Tribal.
Yes.
It's tribalism very like, is, who yes. who do we trust, who do we not trust?
It is a delightful poo-poo platter mm-hmm. of songs about shooting arrows at authoritarian governments.
And being hungry.
Yeah, and being hungry. And you can just pick and choose, and you can have some
songs. Is Hunger Strike on the soundtrack of Hunger Games? I'm going hungry.
I'm hungry.
I'm a man stealing bread
from the mouths of cats.
What do you think the rest of that CD sounds like? Does anyone know?
What, Temple of the Dog?
Yeah.
My sister had that CD.
The whole CD?
What? Yeah. I remember
I
it being
it.
Really
Say
crappy.
Say hello to heaven.
What is
to
that?
Heaven.
That's the other song of that.
Huh.
Wow. I don't remember the other
right
songs.
Now. I don't know why.
But I remember she had it, and I remember being underwhelmed.
Yeah,
oh, not, were you?
Yeah. But that song
Vedder,
kicks ass.
Chris Cornell,
this Vedder
like...
clown has no future.
Well, that's like the only song that Vedder's actually on that album.
Oh, really?
Just a guest
yeah, it's
appearance.
Like 90% Cornell.
That was
that's a great fucking
though, right?
song, though.
Yeah.
No, that was like during Pearl Jam. Like Pearl Jam had just kind of hit.
I thought
big.
Pearl Jam found him I through that song.
Hungry. No.
I watched the Cameron Crowe thing. I thought that's
no,
how...
No, because it was Temple of the Dog was a tribute to Mother Love Bone, who was coming up at the same time as
yeah,
Pearl
but then
Jam.
Their lead singer died, and he switched into
right.
it. Yeah.
I'm too young for this.
Anyway, The Babadook.
Good movie. Good movie.
The Babadook.
Did you guys like the
I did like... I okay, it. Here's the thing Not that I thought... Well, all right, so first of all, the book in The Babadook is amazing.
Spectacular.
Yeah. There's like a Kickstarter to make it. I definitely want one of those books. It's a great yeah. book. All the... Like all the editing, all the like the monster and their stock footage was all great.
Yeah.
I will say that while I was watching it, like I got about 2/3 of the way into it and I'm thinking about writing it and I'm like, man, endings of horror movies are hard. Like it just sort of
yeah.
it kind of gets to a point about 2/3 in where it sort of
the crescendo builds.
It hard like, drags because you know what it is and you're like, how are they going to resolve this like ridiculous
I,
plot
I felt
that
like
they created.
I actually watched it with my wife who's
you're not supposed to do it yourself
very easily scared
yeah
oh sorry I watched it with my wife who's very easily scared and at the end she was like this isn't scary at all and we both agreed that like the shit that builds in the first like 2/3 of the movie is like really fucking scary.
I don't know the where it's in the hallway and it's dark in the hallway, and it starts to move. It's whatever the fuck they are. I was like, that's a terrifying nightmare
image. Well, isn't
image.
That the problem that with most horror, scary. Though, is that it's like, it's a ride. Like, it's not about building to a crescendo, really. It's about, like, at what points do you get scared in? Because it's a very visceral bit by bit. It's not like a love story where you, like, build and there's swelling and there's
well,
stuff.
Well, this is much closer to The Shining than
swelling
it is
the
to...
genitals.
Right. I think that's, and that's, I think, going back to the reason, like, some horror fans are just like, oh, this sucks. It's a weirdly, like, you don't watch horror films to you don't go watch, a lot of horror fans don't go into the horror movie experience to experience the rules of that particular movie. They kind of just sit there and are like, what, all right, what can you do for me? It's kind of like,
how does this, did this movie,
like,
done?
Did this movie jerk me off? It's kind of like, oh, I didn't even come.
It's like
this
a roller coaster fan where they're like rating the dips and dives, and it's like, this one's not really a roller coaster. This one's more of a movie.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, horror movies are supposed to be rides where it's like up, big drop.
Yeah.
And then it's,
and they're waiting for it, and it's like, oh, it turns out we're just watching stuff on a screen.
But then there's like a resolved story, actually, and that's less engaging.
I thought the scariest fucking part of that movie was before you even see the Babadook, where the kid's just in the backseat of the car screaming.
Yeah, and then, or the book, where she's reading the book and it takes a turn and it's getting worse and she like finishes it and then it hard cuts to him like screeching on her lap. I'm like, fuck.
How does it feel as like a parent to watch that movie?
It was awful. I watched it alone with a sick kid. It was just like,
Wait, was the kid in the room?
No. Oh, okay. The kid's too young.
Yeah.
Everything's you're entirely raw as a parent. I don't like to talk about having a kid on here because I hate the internet and I don't really want them to know I have a child.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Story's already out, man.
Yeah. But like, yeah, you're totally raw. Like, I mean, that's why I cried in Interstellar. Like, it's all about like, oh shit, he doesn't get to see his daughter. Like, it's just,
wait, I haven't
everything
seen
is,
it yet.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know who doesn't get to see his daughter, though. I didn't see it either.
Oh.
You'll cry. It won't,
Shit. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's brutal.
That makes me sad just now, and I don't even know the whole plot of the movie.
Yeah. But yeah, so you're more empathetic than you probably should be. I'm a big old pussy now.
You can't be more empathetic than you're supposed to be.
I don't know.
The point of having kids, it reconnects you with the world and humanity.
I don't know if that worked either. I think I just want to burn the world down so it can't hurt my son.
But I thought this one did a really good job. I mean, there's a lot of movies that are like the nightmare kid or the nightmare child genre. But I thought this one did
perfect
a good job.
Balance, right?
It did a good balance of like the kid being sweet and her wanting to see the good in the kid with also like, man, if that was my kid, I would throw him off a cliff.
They did a really good job where you vacillate wildly as to whether or not the kid is worth keeping. You're just like, I don't know. Maybe we let him take the child or the boy. You would give me the boy. You would give me the boy.
It was so creepy when he's like, just give me the boy and we can be together.
Yeah, you can give me the boy. You can give me the boy. Where she had to relive the actual tragedy, where she's like, she knows what's coming and like it's in the hallway.
Yeah.
And like she's facing it down and like she's just like breaking down because she's like, I can't go through this again. And then it just plays out and it's just like, oh, fuck. Like that one stung more than, like, that's not scary, that's just like emotionally terrifying.
Yeah,
it's just like,
well,
here's,
I think that's kind of what they,
here's
did.
the worst tragedy you can imagine and there's an outside force making you relive it is pretty brutal.
It sounds dark,
but was it an outside force? I think that's a real question.
Yeah. Hey look, I can endorse any movie that ends that way where the answer is to do what she did.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I kind of appreciate it.
Yeah.
It was not what I was expecting.
That's a very subtly dark ending where it's like, oh, nicely resolved, but then you're like, oh, shit.
Kind of not?
Yeah.
Somebody explain it. I don't know what happened.
Do you want to watch the movie?
I'll watch it later. I don't care.
I'm
fine with spoilers.
Yeah, so she, so the Babadook might have been inside the whole time. It's her animosity towards, so her husband dies.
Uh-huh. She blames the kid, kind of.
So the husband dies on the way to the hospital to have the kid.
Okay.
And it's like a brutal car crash.
Right.
And so like the kid is just like a fucking weirdo.
Uh-huh.
And he's hard to deal with and he's alienating her completely from the world.
Gotcha.
Like he's alienated in his own, like he's going to protect her and like it's just making things awful. So there's, the book turns up and it's sort of like all of her internal frustrations forecasted
with being
for
a parent
her. Yeah.
For this,
it's like, look, at some point you're going to strangle the kid.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I'm an outside force and I'm now inside of your house. You've let me in. Oh. I'm in here. You're going
to
kill your
anything
child.
Anything about the struggles of like I was talking to a new mother recently and I was like, so like, how's the kid? And she's like, this first year has been really hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really like, I don't think that motherhood should be either vilified or like made into like the, like utmost, like, peak of womankind. Like, it doesn't, there's so many different ways to be a mother, and I really like any movie that's like, sometimes it's really hard, and it's not easy, and it's not like a perfect thing, and it's not what any woman is necessarily supposed to do. What are you looking at me like that for?
I was just looking at you while you talked. Okay. I know you're not used to that. I'm usually like looking at my
usually
laptop.
Usually men look at their phones while I'm talking, so I'm not used to it. We were making deep eye contact.
No, I was just like, you know, I was listening to what you had to say.
He was riveted.
I just really like anything that gives like women...
My pupils are all dilated from the snooze. It's like,
oh my God. Like women full like three-dimensional characters.
Yeah. This is very well rendered. Mm-hmm. You back and forth on who you identify with.
Yeah. I thought so that was really good, where you really it really makes you like,
that's hard to do too, because unlikable characters are hard to sort of empathize. It's hard to switch into liking an unlikable
and
character.
And it's like minute to minute where you're like,
she's horrible.
I love minute to minute back and forth.
It's really,
because that's
really
how you
well
feel
done
about people in real life. You're like, oh, this guy seems pretty cool, and then you're like, oh,
and
that
it's
was
edited.
Kind of
it's edited like a noose around your neck.
Oh, where, really?
Like, it's like a garrote wire tightening, and you're just like, I don't know if I can watch
garrote or garrote.
I have no idea.
I always thought it was garrote, but I don't know. I realize that I'm a sucker for any movie where the character gets like a demon inside them, and suddenly they just like snap at people. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe you should go eat some fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Like, loved Liar Liar. I loved Me, Myself, and Irene. Even like the dumb ones where someone
are you sure it's not just Jim Carrey movies?
I mean, that's part of it. But it's like anytime
the mask.
Loved The Majestic.
What happened in The Majestic? I never saw it.
I think he got amnesia. I think that's all I know about it.
It's something about a movie theater, right?
About The Mask today. That's a weird movie.
What, The Mask?
Yeah. One of those like a guy releases his inner like terrible guy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden
very,
now he's
lovable. It's very pickup artist.
That really is like almost every Jim Carrey movie now that I think about it. But I liked it. I didn't think about it in The Mask, but I liked it a lot in Liar Liar.
You know what I liked about The Mask? I don't think that's a very good movie, but the one thing I liked about The Mask was the one sort of head fake they did that I thought, like, not a lot of movies have done this, where Cameron Diaz is the bombshell. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the redheaded chick is like the, well, she's pretty hot in her own right, but they kind of like fug her up a bit.
Yeah.
But you think he's going to like settle for her, but then she's the one who double crosses him. And then he ends up with Cameron Diaz. He ends up with the bombshell. Whereas usually the movie goes like he's going after the bombshell, but it turns out the bombshell is morally bankrupt and he settles for like the B girl.
What a delightful inversion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was
so Cameron
I feel like
Diaz,
not a lot of movies have done that though.
Cameron Diaz.
Not a lot of movies have done that. You scoff, Brett.
When I was researching the Farrelly Brothers, the Farrelly Brothers oeuvre, which I would not recommend, but I rewatched There's Something About Mary, which is not good at all.
I haven't seen it for a while, but I still have such fond memories of that movie. Mm. Really?
No. No.
It's
real bad.
I remember loving it in high school.
Where are the cracks?
It's like just a lot of things about it. I mean, there's a few good moments. Like there's Chris Elliott is kind of enjoyable.
He's great. I think like a lot of Farrelly Brothers movies is just so hammy.
It's hammy, but also every joke in that movie is like, ha ha, a retard. Ha ha, like a disabled guy. Ha ha, like, it's just kind of mean-spirited.
Is it one of those things where it's like, it seems like it's really boring because it's been imitated so many times since then? Like, maybe it was one of those, like, there's a lot of movies that were like really refreshing when they came out. And then because they've been, like, so many things have been derived from them, they seem really dumb and boring.
I know what you mean, but I think, there are other Farrelly Brothers movies that hold up much better than that one.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't like any
that one. Dumber.
That one, I think, is like a perfect storm of like jokes that were kind of funny then, but it's just really broad. And I honestly think part of the reason people remember it is because it was like Cameron Diaz at peak Cameron Diaz, and like in every scene, she's like blatantly not wearing a bra, and like blatantly has. Like, she's almost naked in every scene.
It's surprising the power that can have.
Remember, there's this actual scene where she goes, let's watch SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. And 17-year-old me was like, oh my God, this is my dream girl.
Right, that was peak. That was peak, like, that was before we realized.
Yeah, yeah. Let's peel back the veil a little bit, huh?
That was definitely peak cool girl.
I'm not mad at you. I
was thinking like what Cameron Diaz is now, and then you being married to her, and just like. You deserve better, man.
Thanks, she doesn't seem so bad now.
That was when Cameron that fallacy now? Hadn't she been. This
right,
was
like,
this
totally
was
fucked out.
This was like this. Just after True Romance, like but. None of the Kevin Smith movies where there was like the cool girl had been out. Could you stop having fucking side conversations? This is like the fifth time.
I'm really confused as to what Brent's problem with current Cameron Diaz is.
No, I have a lot of problems with current Cameron Diaz.
Movie career or as a person?
I have no idea how to separate those two, really. But yeah.
This is my problem.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I will say, as her choices in movies make me think that she is not a good, great person. That I wouldn't like her as a person, at least.
Yeah, it seems like she wants to have fun. I don't know.
Didn't she do a show on MTV? Wasn't that her?
So did McConaughey. McConaughey did a bunch of terrible movies for like 5 years.
No, it's not about the rom-com. It's about...
Was that her? Where she's like going around being philanthropic and she's like really dumb about it.
What?
Isn't that Cameron Diaz?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's Cameron Diaz. Like she's like going to African countries and giving them sweatshirts and shit. It's just like this...
I don't have it.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely familiar. No, it's just more that... like she's trying really. She's like 38, and she's trying real hard to be like the hot chick in every movie. And
they keep casting her. That's not her fault.
That's because she's a big star. She's like one of the few big star. Like she's one of the few like bankable female stars.
And it's like a portrait of American privilege.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I just get worried about people using up beautiful girls and throwing them out.
Yeah, Cameron Diaz and a group of her close personal friends think globally and act globally, too, as they travel in unlikely getaways from Chile to Yellowstone on a unique quest to safeguard the environment. No hotel, no Pilates instructors. They will pack their own bags.
I do like that Pilates.
And carry them into the wild.
Can you imagine living without your Pilates?
My God, pack our own bags? I'd rather be dead.
That's the thing. It just seems like she lacks a certain amount of self-awareness, and she's in all these comedies like... She thinks he's the she. I don't know.
I just don't like telling people how to live their lives.
I'm not telling her how to live her life, but whoever makes the decision where she's like the main comedic actress, I'm like, no, that's not really her.
I don't think I was offering advice to Cameron Diaz. I was just saying I'd rather not see very much of her.
Right,
right. Well, somebody said being married to her at 38, and I was like, oh, I think she deserves love.
I stand by that. Brendan deserves better than Cameron Diaz. He's a nice guy. You're a nice guy. You deserve better than Cameron Diaz.
Oh, thank you.
It's just, yeah, like she's...
I didn't say anything bad about her. She seems like a nice enough person.
Why don't you marry her then?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, apparently I deserve better.
Oh.
You guys probably just never saw Sex Tape or, you know, like all the
commercials.
Hilarious movies that she's in.
A lot of commercials for Sex Tape.
For the record, I'm completely ambivalent.
I think neutral. I think my angst about her is entirely based off of Trippin. Now that I've read that, and,
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I just find her grating. And I didn't mind her in her dramatic roles, but then she went into like I'm the funniest actress
what
in
was
Hollywood.
The dramatic role she had.
I wish Gangs she weren't in the Counselor.
Really?
I thought
with
she did
the
a
Irish
good job.
Accent?
I didn't mind her in that.
Yeah, I didn't.
Cameron Diaz was in Gangs of New York.
Yeah, she was the love interest.
I don't even remember that.
She's the cut purse or the
she was totally
Jiminy Crickets or whatever the
in
fuck
character.
I just remember the ending was really bad.
I don't even remember.
Daniel Day-Lewis was awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes. The ending was pretty bad.
I remember the
look. Martin Scorsese is not
like
great at ending.
Fire. Yeah,
oh, not great at endings.
War,
he never has been.
Militiamen from the Civil War. Yeah,
yeah. It was the crescendo of. The war came to New York. There was like a backlash, Tammany backlash. People
Tammany Hall, give me the pork barrel. Yeah.
I enjoyed his lack of ending ability in The Departed probably more than anything, where there's just like four epilogues. Yeah, and it's just like there was a proper ending, and then like three secondary endings where someone else got shot.
I remember having that conversation where it's like, why did they end that movie like 10 minutes earlier?
It was like a full decay of his ability to tell a story.
About Shutter Island a bunch.
I never seen that movie still.
Despite that, I still really like The Departed.
Yeah, agreed.
Great movie,
but Shutter Island was not good.
I still like Gangs of New York.
Really?
I love Gangs in New York.
I love Daniel Day-Lewis.
I like
Day-Lewis.
The beginning of it.
Yeah, I watched the first half a lot.
I could rewatch something in that time period with Daniel Day-Lewis playing like a fancy yeah. gangster in a like top a hat. Oh my yeah. God.
Do you like period pieces? Friends?
Oh, I love them.
Yay!
Okay, so I wanted to watch... All right. So
they're spirit fingering. Okay. They're spirit fingering.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I'm going to make you do it.
I fucking love period pieces, and I almost
Jim
made you guys...
Vince.
Yeah, I did.
Right.
Fingered him.
The amount of interrupting in this podcast is fucking killing me right now. But
what are you even talking about?
Yeah. So I almost made you guys watch The Immigrant because it was like set in the 20s or whatever with Joaquin Phoenix and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I wanted to watch it. I was like, because I love period pieces. It's awesome, like early New York. And then that movie is like everything. When people say they hate period pieces, they're thinking like of that movie where everybody in it is super serious. No one has a personality. Like everything historical is like unrelentingly dour.
That's my impression. Because my mom loves like... sort of, she doesn't love Downton Abbey. I don't think she watches it, but like that kind of shit is her wheelhouse.
I like Downton Abbey. I love like Boardwalk Empire. I love Gangs
Peaky
in New York.
Blinders? Yeah,
Peaky Blinders. I'm into, but like because those are not the old style period pieces. Where the old style period pieces is like, oh, it's a romance that could
was
never
it Jane
be
Jane Austen's. Something
it's like
what the, did she write I don't even know
it was
wrote.
It's like fucking it's like The Remains Mind of the Prejudice. Day or something, remember that shit?
Yeah she
where it's just like
that.
It's just like my a mom. Sad unrequited love work. For an entire life and no one has a personality and everybody's super serious and they all have like
no one
big
can
dreams
anything
yeah and ever. In The Immigrant, you know, Marion Cotillard, she's like the Polish immigrant and mm-hmm. I just want to see my sister, and it just reminded me of that Seinfeld episode where the woman's like, and we all had pony, I had pony and I loved my pony, everyone in Poland had pony, where it's like everybody it's like this weird fucked up vision of the past where everybody was super serious because like they you saw them in a black and white picture, so now right, you just imagine right. them all
well, and
as
they
like
couldn't
super
smile great. Because they would have to hold the smile for 45 seconds
yeah.
So everyone just looks very dour yeah.
Right,
no one ever laughed.
It's kind of the same thing they did with Theory of Everything, where they saw one picture of Stephen Hawking when he was a young kid and he had his glasses crooked, and then the entire movie is him like with fucking crooked glasses and his hair all
I'm
messed up.
I'm such a mess studying physics.
Yeah, and you're like,
oh my,
come on, man. Like, you know, not one person at Cambridge when they're at a fancy black tie ball is like, hey, dumbass, your fucking glasses are on sideways.
Hey, about that movie, did you see it?
Yes.
You saw it. So he totally like, is the cheating in there?
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's like sort of glossed over. Everything's glossed over.
The whole thing is like love and physics and the universe yeah. and love. And then it's like, and then he fucked his nurse somehow. Yeah. I'm not sure how, but...
Yeah, no, that part's a little bit in there. It's weird that they like sex is in there a bunch, but then it's just never really... It's like, oh yeah, sex also.
But
it's sort of a punchline, but...
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, gross. I do like The Immigrant, though. I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
Ugh. Everybody was just sad, and no one had a... Everybody was super serious all the time.
America was hard in the early 20th yeah. century. That's what the movie's about. Mm-hmm.
Did somebody's elephant eat the cabbage?
Yes.
Is that a thing that happened?
What do you call with my cabbage?
How was Marion Cotillard?
Who gonna pay for all of this cabbage?
I just
somebody she elephant come and eat my cabbage. Mama, she not get the cabbage for the pizza pie. How come? Who we gonna get the for pay to all of this cabbage?
I like that.
What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just asking if Marion Cotillard was good. I just feel like she's so naturally good. Like everything I've seen her in, I'm always like, man, she just kind of. Everyone else seems like they're acting, and she's just sort of doing it. You know?
Yeah.
She's like,
so the reason I watched that was because she got nominated for, or some critics association gave her best actress for that movie, and I was like, oh, did this movie even come out in theaters? And then it was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So then I watched it, and I don't know. Like, I guess she was good. Mm-hmm. Her character had nothing to do except be sad that
Lament.
She couldn't be with her sister.
Lament
Everybody was just like, she's like tough. People love it when like there's one character who's just tough, even if they have no personality. It's like, right. Oh, if everybody's just shits on them and is mean to them the whole time, then all right, obviously that was some acting talent there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was just everybody being mean to her.
Yeah, it was a
bit of a downer, but it was so golden and sparkly.
Yeah. It looked nice. They had good costumes.
It looked great. The cinematography was gorgeous.
Look, no one was walking around tapping their knife on their glass eye, which made me sad.
Well, then what the fuck?
Right?
What's the point?
That part was badass.
The whole cost, every time they walked around in their top hats.
Their multiple flannels.
They're double plaids.
I could watch that for fucking ever.
I really want to dress like one of the gangsters from Peaky Blinders. Like, that's what I'm going to, like, ask everybody for Christmas for a J. Crew, like...
Houndstooth, lots of tweed.
I just need all listeners, please send me J. Crew certificates so that I can fulfill my dream of looking like a Peaky Blinders gangster. Tweet it up.
I was sad that that's not Peaky Blinders, and I was sad that it's the Babadook and not. I thought it was the Babadook.
It's not the Babadook?
It's the Babadook. Well, at least the Australian. Yeah, it's
Australian.
Australians love dropping vowels. Indrapilly has like 14 double vowels in it.
What does?
Indrapilly. It's like Indorupilily.
It was the name of a mall.
Yeah, it's just it's an example.
Aluminium.
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 Good on ya.
That's British. We're the only ones who say aluminum.
They put the actual U in there, don't they? They stick another letter in there.
Yeah.
Different word.
Yeah, they.
It's a completely different word. Like, we would pronounce it aluminium if there was an I before the U at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense.
Full of shit.
All right, you guys.
Where do we go from here?
I don't know.
Where do you go? We just go down the periodic table.
Yeah. Start with cobalt.
Einsteinium.
Magnesium. Mm. Boron.
I'm going to go simple. Oxygen.
What?
Fuck, she winked.
You winked with that shit.
God, it's hard to... I mean, it's got like the O.
How can you come at that?
Yeah. It's got a, what, six? It's got eight? One. Eight?
I thought it was like two.
100.
I don't know.
Oxygen?
Oxygen. What's, two, what's like four? The one one? Hydrogen. What's like the top?
Hydrogen's got two.
What's the most
Helium's
one?
Helium's got
nitrogen?
Two. Hydrogen. Hydrogen's one.
Hydrogen. Hydrogen. Two. Yeah. That's it.
Oxygen's three.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been what's in two? High school chemistry in a long time.
Helium.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's the core of the sun.
Are they really noble gases?
I bet we could dig up some
which,
dirt, Tom.
Which noble gases do you think are elite? And which are not.
Well, like it's clearly neon.
Neon?
Yeah, it's clearly elite.
Yeah.
I was in a play called Finer Noble Gases when I was 12.
Mm.
I rollerbladed around.
Was it about a bunch of kings farting?
No, it was a bunch of tech bros taking pills in Seattle during the first tech boom. And I rollerbladed around in neutral colored clothing and an elephant mask.
That's a cool play to be in when you're 12.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew what a play was.
I think I was Hope. I'm not sure.
Not Boron, though?
No. I danced on some guy's back to like a Leonard Cohen song. It was real weird. Small town theaters.
You had such an artsy childhood.
Huh?
Not me. I went to a sign language play once.
You went to see a sign language play?
Mm-hmm.
How did you applaud?
He's doing it.
It's like when you do like a Persian dance. Same thing.
Yeah. You can't hear it, but
that means like
it.
Fantastic in sign language or some shit.
Mm.
I love it.
Yeah. My dad was a sign language teacher. We went to a fucking deaf Shakespeare. Forget how you say Shakespeare.
It's kind of sweet.
Probably just got to spell it out, right?
I'm sure they have a shorthand for Shakespeare. Hmm. That one's kind of big.
Can I don't know. Your listeners know that I'm single and looking to mingle?
That's going to help.
Jane wants the D.
This is a terrible idea.
Why did you do that?
We're going to get so many emails like pics.
I'm going to get so many dick pics now.
I want to watch my world burn.
Jane's embraced the chaos, so should we edit that out?
I don't know. I kind of
you can't make love to entropy.
All of you, because I think I saw a fake app that was like for one guy. It was a dating app for one guy, and I thought it was really funny. And I also was like, huh, if there was a dating app for one guy, I would probably want to date that guy. And so I kind of want to reverse it. If I say, you guys send me your photos, let me decide. Yeah, yeah. Don't harass me on Twitter, though.
Yeah, good luck.
My dad reads that. He'll find you and murder you. He's like Liam Neeson.
Mm. All right, you guys. Put this one to bed?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. All right, so the consensus is see the Babadook?
Yes, oh, right. Absolutely. Check out frogcast.com for the best of 2014. Oh, yeah. Thanks to Karen for putting that together. That was great.
Cool.
All right. Well, Jane, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. I have a birthday show on the 21st at Lost Weekend Video.
That's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. Come by. I'm gonna have like 15 comics or something on. It's going to be great.
That's too many.
No, they're all going to do like 3 minutes. Matt's on comics. It. Matt Leib's on it. Okay. It's my birthday show.
Nice.
Don't come there if you want to date me. That'll be creepy.
Bring dick pics.
Don't bring dick pics. Okay, come if you want to see
admission
some good
with the dick pic.
And have no interest in touching my boobs. I would kind of, if a guy actually had to hand me a dick pic,
yeah, it's all cross-hatched,
like
the
system
like pen and ink.
There.
It's got to be analog dick pic.
Yeah. Analog dick pics only.
This is from me.
Well, it's paperclip to like a
gelatin
questionnaire.
Film, only silver gelatin.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to be still for 12 seconds.
With the big old flash on your junk.
But come on by. It's going to be a really good show. $10. We'll go to a bar afterwards or something and party. So the 21st. Fun times.
All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for coming on. Leave us a voicemail. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030. Someone left us a couple last week, but I forgot them.
We may listen to them at some point. We'll get around to it. Yeah. You can always email us at frockcast@gmail.com. And until next week, good night and good chins.